Okay, so hello.
Hello.
Prashantam.
Hello.
From Portuguese. You're Portuguese.
Yes, I was born in Portugal.
Yes, right. So you just told me your name means inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It comes from Shanti and...
Shantam, Prashantam. Actually, there is something quite interesting about my name.
Mm-hmm.
Before I received this name from Bhagwan, from Osho,
mm-hmm.
I had lived in Japan
mm-hmm.
as a Zen monk.
Mm-hmm.
And there too there was a tradition of getting a spiritual name.
Okay, they have that too.
In that sect where
okay.
I stayed, in
okay.
the temple where I stayed.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it was all around... related to this special flute that I still play today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The name of the flute is composed of two characters, what is called in Japan two kanjis.
Mm-hmm.
One is the same for everybody, and that is the kanji of kyo.
Mm-hmm.
Kyo means emptiness,
mm-hmm.
nothingness,
mm-hmm.
peace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then every other student and disciple would get a second kanji,
mm-hmm.
second
mm-hmm.
character, that would complete the name.
Okay.
Okay. After some time, when the master felt it was the right time to give the name,
mm-hmm.
I spent almost 2 years there,
mm-hmm.
and I still didn't have my name.
Mm-hmm.
I had the first, I didn't
mm-hmm.
have the second
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The day before I was leaving, and I knew I was going to go to India,
mm-hmm.
I asked the sensei, the master,
mm-hmm.
If I would get my second name,
mm-hmm.
my second kanji.
Mm-hmm. Give it to me.
So I would have the full name.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, oh, you are double kyo.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Double kyo. Nobody was double kyo. I was double kyo.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because, for instance, one of my friends was called kyo sui.
Uh-huh.
Empty comet.
Okay.
Another one was called Kyoku,
mm-hmm.
empty sky.
Mm-hmm.
I was Kyokyo.
Empty, empty.
Empty, empty. Strange. Anyhow, very soon afterwards,
mm-hmm.
I arrived in front of Osho.
Mm-hmm.
It was my moment of receiving initiation.
Mm-hmm.
He gives me my name and he
says... You've already been there for quite some time.
No, I had never been in India before.
So you arrive and he gives you your name straight there?
I had been there for 4 days. After 4 days,
okay.
After 4 days, I had already... I knew I wanted...
He said, come over, I want to give you your name?
No, you usually would book for,
okay.
for your initiation.
You ask for it.
You ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my turn had arrived. I was sitting in front of him. And then he gives me my new name and he says, your new name is... Swami Deva Prashantam.
Mm-hmm.
Deva means divine.
Mm-hmm.
Prashantam means inner silence.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, when I heard that,
mm-hmm.
it was as if two masters were telling me the same message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. the meaning of kyo
mm-hmm.
is actually the same as what you would call shanti or
mm-hmm.
inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the moment where Osho gave me my new name,
mm-hmm.
as a sannyasa's disciple name,
mm-hmm.
I had a release, a cathartic of laughter. I started laughing. You know, because it was too much that
mm-hmm.
coming from two different places, two different masters,
mm-hmm.
and they're both telling me the same mm-hmm. message.
You were impressed.
You know, I was surprised. I was more than impressed. I was really... like a bastard, as you say.
So there must be some other force.
Because nobody knew I arrived,
yes.
and nobody knew I had been in Japan,
yes.
I had another master before, etc., etc.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
So it was something.
Yeah.
And for a long time,
mm-hmm.
as far as I know, it took me even time to get used to this new name,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But you're using Prashantam now.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
that's
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have such an interesting life, you know. I searched for you in the internet,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to mention some things. I mean, you're like, in the beginning you studied medicine. So you're
right.
actually a doctor of medicine.
I am a student that finished medicine.
Okay.
And then... you needed to
do the practice.
I didn't follow.
So this is just one thing, and then you spent time, like you already said, in Asia, like in Japan, and you went to Osho and other places, probably in India. And then you've been with the origins of Australia, with the Aborigines, in the Philippines, there are Aborigines too?
No, in the Philippines there are healers.
Okay, and also you went to South America to the shamans.
Yes.
And in Tibet, you were in Tibet with the doctors.
Yes.
So, wow, this is like great. That you had this chance to go there and study with so many people. And, you know, what did you learn? Do they talk about the same thing, all of them? Or is it like totally different and contrary?
What I learned is maybe all gets summarized in who I am today.
Yeah. Okay.
You see, so I drank from all the sources I could.
Yeah.
You see, I feel that it was other times.
Mm-hmm.
The time, you know, I left Portugal, I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. That was 1968.
Yeah.
Okay. 1968, Portugal was still a dictatorship.
Yeah.
That meant war in Africa with the colonies, Angola, etc. You were not even born.
No.
You see, so it was different times.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was a very difficult situation for me because I basically arrived in Paris, in France, as a flüchtling.
Flüchtling. Yeah.
I had no connection.
You escape?
I escaped.
Wow.
I escaped Portugal because it was the days where one either would stay and go to the army and go to the war in Africa, etc. I had done my first year of medicine already in Portugal.
Yeah.
And fortunately, in the process of survival, because it was all a survival mechanism, I come from a humble family, and there was no way I could ask the parents to give me money or to... I had no scholarships, etc., etc.
You had... So you were on your own.
I was on my own and I had to make it. Now, what I found out was that it was interesting in terms of survival to continue being a student.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky to find out that my studies in Portugal got equivalents to be continued in France.
Good.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
It was very difficult because I shifted from medicine, has a lot to do with the memorizing. And I shifted from Portuguese to French, and I didn't know French. I arrived in France.
Yeah.
I knew the French you learn in school, almost nothing. And immediately I had to memorize all these French words and medical terms. It was really difficult. And I was on my own. So I had to find jobs and work, and I was a kid full of energy, so I got involved with sports, and I got involved with acting, with pantomime. I was very much involved with a pantomime troupe with a famous teacher in...
The Big and Friends, I think.
It was, yes, at that time it was very popular. Yeah.
But how did you get to all those spiritual masters? How did you... What was it, coincidence that you went to Japan and to...
I feel that it is the master who calls the disciple rather than the disciple choosing the master. You see, inside of us, we are all seeking. We are all seekers.
Okay.
Human nature is by definition seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking happiness, seeking peace, seeking paradise, bliss. Everyone has different metaphors. So we are all seekers.
Yeah.
And this situation that made it that I could not return. I had not a country to go back to, neither a family, because I had left everything. So basically, the world became my home. I was young, I had finished university, I had completed other diplomas that I made at the same time that I was in medical. At the age of 23, I had 4 university degrees.
Wow.
That when I think about it today, it's like amazing. How did I do it?
Yeah.
Equivalences, working with the system.
Yeah.
You see, it was after May 68 that was a big revolution of the students in France.
Yeah.
And a lot of equivalences came. You would do three years of medicine, you were already 2 years in letters. So, playing with the system,
yeah.
I had all this. But mostly what I had was a tremendous self-confidence in myself.
Yeah.
You see.
But then why didn't you stay with medicine?
No, the opposite. It's like, I have so much, the world is mine, I...
Medicine is not enough.
You see, at the age of 23, finishing medical school, what it means medicine, it means getting into the system, getting into working in the hospitals, doing the night shifts and doing all these things, which basically was the opposite of everything I was feeling. I was feeling like I had my own wings.
Yeah.
I want the world.
Yeah.
And literally, I left overland.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
From Europe.
You went to Japan?
I arrived in Japan later on, but mm-hmm. I started from hitchhiking in Paris outside mm-hmm. of the...
So you were a traveler in the beginning, and then the master called you in?
It was actually in Tokyo, where I was one day looking in a bookstore uh-huh. for an English book that was very difficult to find those days, and I saw this book, Meetings with a Remarkable Man. From Gurdjieff.
Okay.
I read that book.
Gurdjieff? Isn't that this composer?
No, Gurdjieff was another mystic man that wrote several books and lived in the...
I have music from him. Could that be?
No, you have music from Altman that was one of his disciples.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Gurdjieff lived in the beginning of the last century,
mm-hmm.
and he's a very appreciated mystic man mm-hmm. by many people.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote this book, Meeting with a Remarkable Man.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was reading this book,
mm-hmm.
I realized that I had traveled throughout all the Asian countries,
mm-hmm.
that some of them today you can't even go there anymore. Afghanistan, mm-hmm. Iraq, mm-hmm. Syria. Mm-hmm. I love these countries. Mm-hmm. I had such a good time in these countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I made my living there. Because remember, mm-hmm. I don't have money. I'm mm-hmm. making my way as I go along.
Mm-hmm.
So finding jobs in mm-hmm. places where you would never imagine. How can mm-hmm. you make money in Kabul? I mm-hmm. made money in Kabul.
Mm-hmm.
With carpets. Buying mm-hmm. and selling carpets. You know, surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And in Tokyo, years mm-hmm. later, reading this book,
mm-hmm.
I figure out, I've been all through Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't meet any remarkable people. I missed something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I decided to go back to India.
So there was something in you thinking that there must be more than just traveling.
Today I am sure there has always been something inside of me that's wanting to touch this deep quality of life, you know, that
yeah.
it is really somehow in the soul of every human being,
uh-huh.
What am I doing here?
Uh-huh.
Who am I?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know. And at that time, I thought that the answer was outwards, and it was by mm-hmm. life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, by the age of 26 or 27, when I arrived in Pune,
mm-hmm.
I had already had a life
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
To the standards even of today.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there was no internet. There was mm-hmm. no... You see, those days, to connect with your family, you would write a letter in Istanbul, and
mm-hmm.
then 6 months later, in the Poste Restante of Tehran, you would get the answer, because it would take all this time for the mail to move.
Wow.
You see, there was no even good phone connections.
Yeah.
How to
and
call...
expensive.
You know, so... And
yeah.
my life... survival mechanism was I was living on $1 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was how much I could afford to
mm-hmm.
spend.
Mm-hmm.
$1 a day.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in Afghanistan, $1 mm-hmm. was at that time worth, I remember, 66 Afghani.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is that a lot?
Well, I managed
mm-hmm.
to spend about 50 Afghani.
Wow.
So I would save 16 Afghani.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make that I would, at the end, have some savings.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, this was the life at that time.
Yeah.
But I also, looking backwards, I never had any situation of not thinking that I was not going to make it,
mm-hmm.
or feeling mm-hmm. like, oh my God, I'm lost. No, it was always.
So what I'm interested in is that since you've been with so many different mm-hmm. cultures and mm-hmm. also so many different masters,
mm-hmm.
is there truth in any of those, or is it like when you put like in the essence, is it just the same what the shamans say, what the Japanese what was that you studied? What was that art?
The flute, the Kyotaku, the flute,
yeah.
Japanese flute in
yeah.
Zen.
And you did some
martial arts. Yes.
And there's a philosophy to it, and what Osho teaches,
yes.
and the so is there an essence where they all come together as the same?
You see, I understand your question, but the answer is somehow quite simple: is that it is you that seeks the answer for the question that is happening inside of you. That
mm-hmm.
means,
mm-hmm.
In a given moment,
mm-hmm.
you may have inside of you a question, a quest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is your search?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I met Osho, that at the time was called Bhagwan Shri
mm-hmm.
Rajneesh, he really represented to me, I saw in him what I had never seen in all the other teachers I met. I saw him a real master.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what it was special about him was that he was not giving me answers.
Mm-hmm.
He was guiding me
mm-hmm.
to find the answer within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I see that today Osho is still so alive in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the one who turned me on to meditation.
Mm-hmm. Why? How could he do that?
Well, by the lifestyle he was creating around him, by mm-hmm. the continuous focusing that he had himself about it, and by my being ready for it at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like.
But he didn't say you must meditate.
No, he never said such things to anybody as far as I could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
He always suggested that meditation was. He used to say, you guys have many questions, I have only one answer.
And that
answer,
is meditation.
The answer is meditation, you see. Today I realize that so it is,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was just first in love, excited, turned on by the being that was standing in front of me every day, by the way that he was releasing his energy to us and creating the lifestyle that we are having by staying around him. And I became very soon member of that commune living around him. So the lifestyle was totally in harmony with my needs and
mm.
life choices of that moment. Remember, I had already done so much. I had traveled half of the world. It was not very difficult for me to feel like, oh, I can settle for a while. I remember that the doubts that were going on in my head when I first arrived was that I had this thing about, I'm traveling around the world. I want to know the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I left from France through Asia, and when I was in Japan, I already had the ticket to move to the next part, which was Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready to do Alaska to the mm-hmm. south of Argentina, to do the whole South America. It was my next stage, okay? But it was winter, and I had little money, so how can I get to Alaska? You get to Alaska by ferry, by boat.
Mm-hmm.
This boat was leaving in March.
Mm-hmm.
I already booked my trip to Alaska,
mm-hmm.
to Anchorage. And I have a few months to wait, so I go to India. Okay, but with a return ticket, say, I'm coming back. I'm going in March to Anchorage. Okay, so this was what I thought my life would be at that time. And when I said...
A traveler, a seeker.
A traveling, especially like just the world...
But it was seeking, right?
The word seeking at that time did not belong to my vocabulary.
But right now,
today,
you would say it
course.
Was seeking for something.
Of course, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But still now I am seeking.
Mm-hmm.
The seeking is the juice of life. I'm not yet finished with seeking.
You're not.
You see, the river doesn't stop. I don't want the river to stop. I'm floating in the river. Mm-hmm. But the river is still flowing.
But wouldn't Osho say, what are you seeking? It's all in meditation.
Now we are playing with the words. Mm. But I'm still excited about the new of this moment. This moment never happened before. Okay. And in this moment, I am as present as I can be.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm not dead. I'm not dull.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
For me, enlightenment is not a stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like enjoying every moment, enjoying what else comes to you, what experience.
And never taking for granted having arrived anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never taking for granted that I've got it. I've got only that. Mm-hmm. There is only this,
mm-hmm.
and this is all I've got. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be this next mm-hmm. time that it's going to be this.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and this is all I can share with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I am as lost and mm-hmm. as surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, there is no seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, there is no seeking mm-hmm. because there is only this.
But if you love seeking, you seek.
If I love to be alive, I stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
And but is being alive seeking?
The seeking is not being satisfied with this and wanting more then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am absolutely comfortable and satisfied and complete with this.
Now.
And this is, though there is, if mm-hmm. this is the end, then thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If there is more this, mm-hmm. then let's go on.
Yeah, let's have fun with it.
You see. Mm-hmm. So, in that sense, there is no seeking,
mm-hmm.
but there is no stopping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah, I like that.
You see.
Yeah, yeah.
But coming back
to Osho,
mm-hmm. those days where I was, am I a sannyasi? Am I going to stay here? And mm-hmm. see. So my whole fight was about not wanting to stop mm-hmm. my journey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then in one of his discourses, God knows where it came from. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there half asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear this sentence. You are with me until you go back to the road again. I will never forget these words. You are with me until you never go back to the road again. So, Until you are with me until you go back to the road again.
Okay. But that could be forever.
So I said, if I can go back to the road again,
uh-huh.
I can stay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So in that moment, I made peace with my fighting mind
mm-hmm. that always wants to go.
Wanted to move. Mm-hmm. You see? If I can go back to the road eventually,
uh-huh.
so I can stay.
Uh-huh. Was it an inner thought you had or you heard a voice?
Doesn't matter. What it matters is that I made peace with this. I associated.
It struck you that moment.
I associated with something I heard from Bhagwan, from Osho. Okay, I associate with that, and that was what made me say, okay, then.
Yeah.
Then I go to the.
Yeah.
Then I stay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He gave you the freedom also to do everything you want.
I don't even know who he was talking to. Yeah. I don't even know if he really said it.
Yeah.
But somehow,
for
in
you
that moment, it just clinked.
Yeah.
Okay. What I never imagined was that 25 years later, I would be still sitting there.
Really? You stayed 25 years?
Yes, and I still am there.
Are you? You're here with me now.
Yes, but I'm still as alive with Osho as I have never been in many mm-hmm. times I was
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's with you.
There is no separation in the scheme mm-hmm. because Osho is not a person.
Mm-hmm.
Osho for me is a channel of understanding. Yes, there was
mm-hmm.
a man,
mm-hmm.
Chandra Mohan mm-hmm. Rajneesh, that mm-hmm. I sat in front for the last 16 years of his life.
Mm-hmm. But that man actually that called Master helped you to feel that there is no separation in the end.
He helped me to stay focused.
Yeah.
Focus on the search to the answer to the question, who am I?
To stay focused.
Focused in the search
mm-hmm.
to the answer
mm-hmm.
of the question,
mm-hmm.
who am I?
Mm-hmm. And is there an answer now? Or are you still on that focus of searching for that answer? I really listened. Why are you laughing now? There's an answer. Okay. Just wanted to hear it, just say yes.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Nice. So was that the attraction of Osho? Why everybody went there and stayed?
You can.
He attracted masses. Didn't
you can.
He?
I think you will get a different answer from every person that has ever met.
So give me your answer.
My answer was that I felt at home.
Okay, that's a good answer.
And that by what it meant to be at home was that I could be myself.
Wow.
There was support, there was the environment, there was especially this very comfortable inner feeling that he was like a soft loving wind behind my back, saying, go for it, be yourself.
Wow.
So there was never, ever for me any doubt of leaving, of going anywhere. Even after he left his body, I didn't have to go anywhere. It was almost 12 years later, after Osho left his body in 1990. I stayed in India, in Pune, until 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Only because and if I left India, it was only because India became such a unhealthy place, Pune in session. An unhealthy place to live.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Being involved with the theme of healing, it was a contradiction to myself
mm-hmm.
to stay in such a non-healing place
mm-hmm.
to actually live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I am in the place where I am today, which is a healthy place to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mean the environment of Pune wasn't...
Yes, the air, the pollution, the noise, the whole situation around what was... Because,
mm-hmm.
you see, very soon I became a resident of the ashram.
Mm-hmm.
And I really supported
mm-hmm.
being there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all that was very easy for me to be involved,
mm-hmm.
Living in bamboo huts and mm-hmm. all kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm.
But slowly, as it probably is now, the ashram became like suffocated by the evolution of the whole India itself
mm-hmm.
and Pune itself.
Yeah.
And one day I had to face myself and say,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't make any more sense for me to go on living here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in 2004, 2006, that was when I finally said, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so... Many years after Osho left the body.
Yeah. So I would like to ask you more questions about Osho, since I don't know so much about him.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have, you know, from what came to me was also like bad, like a bad reputation. Like he was some spiritual ego or something like that in his later years, like having this having so many masses of people like being on his feet that he made maybe got away from his inner enlightenment. Could that be? How was your impression? Because you were with him. I don't know anything. I would like to know.
Yes. Osho is still as alive to me as he was always before. He's not a body anymore.
Yeah.
So he's still the master that I always recognized.
Mm.
Because you see, I've met Osho when I look inwards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't project the
mm-hmm.
need of an incarnation of a
mm-hmm.
person that needs to fulfill some kind of expectation. I was lucky, and I really see it as lucky that in this mind, there never was a glimpse of doubt
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
how truth he was with himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I saw. And literally, I would say 90% of the time that he was facing us, he was sitting with us between December 75 and January 1990, I was present, I was there. That means I was looking, I was receiving, I was listening, I was feeling.
Yeah.
And
so
never it came any glimpse, and I went through many stories, situations, projections, hearing what these and those were saying.
Yeah.
But what matters to me the most is now, is today.
Yeah.
And today.
Why?
Because today my meditation is so alive and so present.
Uh-huh.
And my love for the message of meditation, for the clarity of that, yes, there is an answer to be found in the question of who am I.
Mm-hmm.
And the method that for me happens in, or that happened, we call this meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
is it your kind of meditation? Is it what we like mostly know, or is it a meditation of dancing? Because I saw videos of Osho where people were dancing, letting everything out.
Let's get clear in these words, in these terms.
Mm-hmm.
I define meditation with capital M and meditation with small m.
Okay.
Meditation with small m is techniques.
Okay.
Okay. And techniques are many.
Okay.
And every master has developed the techniques that probably suit the people that come to ask for guidance.
Okay. Lots of techniques. Same outcome?
The techniques have an intention to take you to what I consider to be meditation with capital M. And that I define it as a quality.
Mm-hmm.
This quality, every human being is born with it.
Mm-hmm.
So meditation is not to be discovered, it's to be recognized, the quality of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is not to be understood. Nobody has to convince you or to teach you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You have to recognize it if you search.
Mm-hmm.
If the question, who am I, is predominant, is important for you, if there is an investment to find the answer to this question.
Yes.
Okay. Then, if you want to find the answer to the question, who am I, the method, whatever method takes you there, we call it meditation.
Mm-hmm. Whatever method. Tell me some.
Well, swimming.
Dancing.
Dancing, laughing.
Pottery.
Any method.
Oh, thank you for saying that, because I can't...
I'm not saying it. I'm not discovering hot water, okay? I'm not saying it. This was the integration, the deep understanding that settled inside of this being when, after practicing so many techniques. Now, there is something unique, something that I considered original to the teachings of Osho.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I still recognize today, that it is tremendous value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Meditation is old as the search of man. So it's from the beginning of times.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, 2,500 years ago, Gautama the Buddha, he also talked about meditation, and his method was Vipassana. Sit, what's your thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay. But those days, people were living in small communes, in some valley, and they didn't know who was living on the other. There was no internet. There was no all the input of information that you and I have to deal with today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what we call the new man today, Vipassana is not a Osho technique. In fact, Osho never really suggested to start with Vipassana.
Okay.
His teachings, and there it's where it is original.
Yeah.
It's why I feel Osho is a master for today, for the man of today, you and me, is that, hey, use your physical energy, use your body, because your body is available to you anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
And since mind is not separate from body, if you exhaust your physical energy, if you drain your mental energy, so then later, watching thoughts becomes much more easy, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Arrive to silence as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at all the techniques of Osho,
they
basically play around this understanding.
Mm-hmm.
First, be physically involved with your body.
So he did that dancing, for instance.
All his techniques start with the physical involvement.
Mm-hmm.
First, the body.
Mm-hmm.
So that silence, or if you want to call watching your thoughts, comes as a gift.
Comes naturally to you.
Yes, showers on you.
Yeah.
Not as an effort.
Yeah.
Today, if you choose to see it, you're going to have to focus and watch and watch your breath. And there is a focusing.
Yeah.
There is an effort. So he says, exhaust yourself physically and arrive to silence as a consequence of your totality.
Mm-hmm.
And this approach, not only through my own practicing, but through the thousands of people that have join my workshops in the way I share myself with people, truly thousands throughout the world, in all the continents, it shows that gives results.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say Osho is so alive today.
Mm-hmm.
Because he used to say it, if you want to know me, I'm saying, Osho was saying, if you want to know me, practice my meditation techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, listen to my discourses, watch my videos, but all this is to seduce you to practice the techniques, to invite you to practice the techniques. And this was my journey, and
so,
still is today.
So that's probably why he attracted so many people from the West.
Of course.
Because he was very modern in his way.
He really fits the man of today, still does.
Mm-hmm.
Probably there is today, right now, in this moment, there is probably more people all over the world involved with the teachings of Osho than never before.
Mm-hmm.
The proof is the selling of his books. The proof is, yes, maybe there is not so many people calling themselves disciples or sannyasin, but I work in Russia, I work in China, I work in South America. Osho is all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, the Osho books have been translated and read by thousands, millions of people. And I consider that the Osho is really touching people today more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
In a different way, not so much focus maybe through the, as it was one time, it was everything happening in Pune, India. Now it's happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. What is it about Osho and his thinking about sex? Wasn't there some that I don't know. Just tell me. You tell me.
Yes,
I don't know anything.
I think you know very well.
No, I don't know anything.
No, I really feel
I okay, I heard there was like a everybody was doing it with everybody. That's what I heard. I don't know more.
Well,
did he encourage people to do that, or what was that?
Everything he said, he's in his books.
Okay.
So, if anyone wants to know what he said, read his books.
Yeah, but I want to know now. I can't read the book. I have this interview right now.
Fine. But I'm saying, I don't have to say what he said.
Because
I can only say what I heard.
Okay, what did you hear?
And of what I retain as being important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Yeah, but I saw there is a book where he talks about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, he talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably will find another book that is going to contradict what he said in the book before.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that it was that he never contradicted was his own contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So. I always want to make it clear that whatever I'm saying to you is in my own
understanding.
Yes, but my own responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't feel that Osho needs me to be a salesman.
Mm-hmm.
It is never my position towards my love for Osho.
Mm-hmm.
He is good enough and still today to promote himself and to let the world know about him.
Yeah.
But I can stand in front of you or sit in front of you and this is what Osho has done to my life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel I am a flower like many other flowers, millions of other flowers in Osho's garden.
Mm-hmm.
And how I got to be who I am, this one standing here, is exactly by practicing his techniques of meditation, integrating his channels of understanding, but I am my own entity. I take responsibility for whatever I say, and I speak in my own name. Sex is the juice of life.
That's what he said?
That's what I feel.
Okay.
Okay. Sex is what makes you be here today. Sex is what makes the birds sing. Sex is what makes the world turn. Okay. Now, how each one deals with your sexuality, most of us, is by not breathing. Because you don't breathe, because when you breathe, it goes straight to your sex center. It awakens it, it massages it. And since the age of 2 or 3, we are told that sex is dangerous. Sex is something you need to protect yourself.
So, and there is a fear.
There is a fear, there is a contraction, there is a protection about our sexuality. There is not a yes, a total yes towards being an alive being. Okay. Now, this is something that I recognize by watching, by looking inwards. Now, Osho said everything that one wants to say, but he never said, this is the truth and this is not the truth, as far as I heard it. Okay. So, he's not a place where you can find dogmas. I don't have dogmas from Osho.
But he encouraged you to be yourself, meaning also have your own sexuality the way you like it.
Yes, and in my life I have had periods of being celibate, long periods, and that was my reality of that time. I've had periods where I've been involved with multi-sexual partners. I have other periods where I've been monogamic, and I take responsibility for it. I never, never, ever, ever I had the sense that I'm doing this because Osho said or Osho said. No. I never heard him say that.
Okay, I understand.
Okay. But one day you would speak about Tantra, and then in Tantra you would give us the message that through multiple experiences you will get to know yourself. The next day you would talk about celibacism, and you will, you know. So really, it would always depend on where you are at with your search.
Okay.
That is something that I would like to express clearly, is that the master, the way I feel it inside of me, is a teacher when you need to be taught, but he's not someone who puts you inside of dogmas. The reason why I say Osho is so alive today in my life, and I am grateful to recognize the master in my life, is because he leaves me with myself. I have no no dogmas or no this you must do and this you must not do. I'm absolutely the more I'm master of myself, the more he is my master. It's a melting. There is no separation. And I said it maybe before, I don't know where Osho finishes and I start. And this is only how I can express how much I am myself.
I want to ask you another question. You're here right now in Munich at this Rainbow Spirit Festival, and you have a workshop there or a meeting. It says living without fear.
Yes.
Can you like summarize that up for me, for the watchers?
When you are free, the only freedom is free from fear.
Yeah.
That is the only freedom.
Then you're free.
Then you are free of what? You are free of being conditioned by fear, because fear is conditioning everything.
Is that condition that we get from the society, from the parents, from... So does it mean we have to uncondition?
In fact, the way I see fear is a dream. Fear doesn't exist.
It's something ego makes up?
That you project. Maybe it's the reflection of the ego itself, but I want to make it more simple.
Okay.
So that it is accessible to anyone.
Okay.
Fear only exists when you project it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Otherwise it doesn't exist. What do we project?
We project danger into the other person.
You project three things.
Uh-huh.
You project that you will die.
Uh-huh.
Or that you will go crazy.
Or be threatened.
Or that you will lose control.
Okay.
Go
crazy, lose control.
Yes. Or that you will die.
Okay.
Yeah. And you don't know any of these three dimensions. Because you don't know what it means to die.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know really what it means to go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what it means to control.
Okay, so we fear the not knowing.
You project it. That's why I say fear.
I project the fear of not the things I don't know.
You project either that you will die, or that you will lose control, or that you will go crazy.
Experiences I don't know, so I can't control those experiences also.
I don't have other more simple way to express it. Maybe the words you said make sense to you.
Uh-huh.
I repeat,
mm-hmm.
You project that you die, you project that you go crazy, or you project that you will lose control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the losing control is very much associated to orgasm.
Okay.
That is what every human being
wants, not fears.
Well, and why doesn't it get it then?
Why doesn't it what?
Why doesn't get it? Why there is so much stress about something that it is so natural?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mean lovers stress about it?
What prevents it from going orgasm? What is orgasm? Losing control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, but at the same time, death. You know, everyone fears death. But we are dying. Death is what we call life.
Mm.
Death started in the first moment that you were born.
Mm-hmm.
What you call life is actually a death process.
Mm.
And everybody is preventing yourself, is running away from death.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, that is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there is one day where body will stop breathing. It will happen to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But when are you going to get ready to be there? You're going to get ready if you are now calling death what you call life. Don't protect life. Surrender to death. Because that's what's happening. But no, you are afraid of death. So you want to protect what actually is not happening. You are not living.
Mm-hmm.
You are not living as long as fear is controlling your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I miss the moment.
You are not living.
Mm-hmm.
You are maybe 50%, 20%, 40%, 90%. But there is a big part of your energy that it is lost, that it is wasted in whatever fear you may be dealing with about death. And the same thing about going crazy. The whole world is not knowing how to deal with drug addiction, with the, you know, see that everybody is deep inside. Not crazy, unique. But what you call your uniqueness is seen by others, by what you project as being your craziness. If today you choose to walk around naked,
you're crazy.
You're crazy.
For others.
But as a child, you know how many children hate to wear clothes.
And they walk around naked.
They walk around naked. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents say, oh, he doesn't like to wear clothes.
Mm-hmm.
That's his uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
But that uniqueness, you never lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You buffer it. In the name of what? In the name of fear. Fear of what? Of going crazy. Because we don't know what to do with crazy people. We put them in a box, we put them in some crazy house, we close the door, and then they are crazy. Or we give them drugs, and we buffer them.
Yes, okay? We do. Mm.
We don't know how to deal with...
And doctors try to make them normal. Society.
It's a never-ending process,
mm-hmm.
because it's never seen as... It's not about including the people within a certain social system, but it is about liberating the uniqueness of that person.
Do you think that that uniqueness is actually the diamond in all of us?
It is, you call it a diamond, but in fact, it is so unique that nothing compares to it.
Right.
You see, so you call it a diamond, then you are projecting that diamond should, you should look like. No, it's so unique. You are so unique. Never was one like you.
So that is beauty.
Yes, then adjectives come to define it.
Okay.
But it's so unique that the list of adjectives will never be enough to describe that uniqueness that you are in, carrying inside of yourself.
Well, I'm just trying to make it more, I'm trying to give it more words to it so people so would you encourage people to be unique? Or to discover their uniqueness and live it?
Well, then you see, I don't encourage them. I bring them to what will give them the courage to do so.
How do you do that?
Meditation.
Okay.
It's so simple.
That's what Osho said.
But that's what every master says. Mm-hmm. And that's why Osho is a master of masters. Mm-hmm. You see. And meditation is seen as something that you have to make an effort, you have to step time out of your routine life. But meditation is your way of life. Mm-hmm. We are in meditation right now. Mm-hmm. Of course, many people lose touch with it. Then we have the techniques. Mm-hmm. But the moment you touch that place, you never want to leave it. You never want to be out of meditation. Mm-hmm. You are not that stupid. Mm-hmm. You are not that... Mm-hmm. You know, and then you can dance and you can swim with your friends and you can have a beer with your friends. Mm-hmm. But you never lose that quality. Mm-hmm. And if you feel that you lose it, you have the techniques that you know will bring you back to it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I need, in my daily life, I need the practice of my routine meditation that I keep and I protect as my practice every day. It's like you need, I don't know, to comb your hair, or you need to brush your teeth, or you need to some things to make you feel yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, I need to meditate every day.
Mm. Well, thank you. Well, we enlightened this room here right now. I have one more question for you. You know, there's something like a negative ego in us, and then there is this uniqueness. You might call it uniqueness. Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, on our way of seeking, do you think we should come, like, find the middle way, or is actually what you experienced is like really getting rid of the ego, or is that not possible? And always be in that enlightenment state or uniqueness or feeling connected or whatever we would, you know, name it?
When you touch that uniqueness, you are in your total ego.
Okay.
You are 100% ego. You are your uniqueness. And in that uniqueness, in that 100% ego, the quality that expresses, we call it love. Mm-hmm. How does that total ego comes out? How does it express? How does it relate to the world around? We call that love. Your question comes from projecting that the ego
is something negative.
But that is the part of you that don't owns your own ego, that your own uniqueness. That part of you that it is now projecting that is such a thing as a negative ego. Mm-hmm. That part of you is the one that you don't own it. Because if indeed you own your totality of your being, your uniqueness, then you see, you feel that there is not such a thing
mm-hmm.
as negativity.
Mm-hmm.
The negativity comes from the non-owning of yourself. The negativity is the part of you that is not yours.
Mm-hmm.
The negativity is your conditionings, your all the stuff that you identify with, and at the same time has nothing to do with your being, with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The totality of your being, whether you call it 100% ego or your uniqueness, that totality is not anymore I.
Mm-hmm.
That totality is part of the oneness, is love.
But I don't think I understand. What I call the negative ego or is not the absence of love.
But it is a little love, sometimes.
Mm. So do you mean
when the conditions are right?
Mm. So do you mean it exists? It's all together? There's no separation of the ego to the uniqueness? It's just one?
That's all that there is oneness.
Is that what they call non-duality?
I don't know how they call it. That's how I'm telling you
okay.
how I feel about it.
Yeah, tell
you
me.
See, I'm telling you right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm telling you, I can only repeat the mm-hmm. same words.
Yeah.
But the same words say that in the totality of your being,
mm-hmm.
you are so totally in yourself that the self disappeared. And then you are lost. You are dissolved into the oneness that there always was. There was never anything else. There was the period when you thought that sometimes you were 50% yourself and 50% not for self, and then sometimes 20%, and then when I am totally in love and lost in my love, then I'm almost 100%. And then yes, that is the period of the dark side of the moon, the walking in the darkness.
Mm.
But the oneness, that's all that has always been here. And only when we fall into this identification with this thing that we call mind,
mm-hmm.
there, it's I and the others. I and the rest. Mm-hmm. I outside the wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
But never was.
Mm-hmm.
You've never been out of the one.
Mm-hmm.
You never were, you never will be out of the one. You are only lost in your own darkness for a while. And one day you will get tired of it. And one day you will step out. And one day you will laugh your ass out. Because that's what there is. There is this oneness. And there you don't find any other feelings. You describe it as love.
Mm-hmm.
And you carry it inside of you. And when someone is ready to resonate with you, you resonate on that level.
But in this oneness, everything exists. Everything that what we call good and bad or whatever.
What is the oneness. You,
mm-hmm.
you consider this good, you consider
mm-hmm.
this bad, you
mm-hmm.
consider this enough, and you consider mm-hmm. this not enough. And
that's the projection.
That is the identification with the ego that you talk about
okay.
yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. The one that you call negative ego.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. That is the negative ego.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Now right. I get it.
Right. It is simple to see.
Mm-hmm.
You see? It is simple to see. It is, you can't deny it. It showers on you.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have is just live without fear. Step out of your fear. Because it is fear that you are using
mm.
to be sometimes totally and sometimes not totally.
Summarizing mm-hmm. all that, you created a school in
mm-hmm.
Italy. It's
mm-hmm.
your school. Mm-hmm. How do you call it? It's ODHA?
Yeah, it's called Osho Divine Healing Hearts.
Okay. And there, do you help people finding their uniqueness there?
Yes.
Could I say that?
Actually, it is the only school in the world
mm-hmm.
that carries the name of Osho
mm-hmm.
and that it is legally established
mm-hmm.
with a program of education that mm-hmm. gives an official diploma.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this official diploma? It is a holistic therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The technique that we start from is the technique of digital pressure, that is also called, so, mm-hmm. called shiatsu.
Okay.
Okay. But that is my method of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I see my school as a school for life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there is not such a thing as a school for life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You would not know what I'm talking about when I say school for life.
Mm-hmm.
So I say it's a school where you learn about body.
Mm-hmm.
How to take care of your body,
mm-hmm.
and maybe,
mm-hmm.
if you want, how to take care of other people's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So in that sense, you can, if you want, mm-hmm. work as a masseur, a healer, body worker.
Mm-hmm.
You find the way that the market recognizes you.
Mm-hmm.
Your title is holistic therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
3 years education.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere in Europe,
mm-hmm.
the law recognizes you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But after the body.
So you got out with a diploma, actually.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
legal,
wow.
in all the European
mm-hmm.
countries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is a law, it's the law of 2005, the law 36
mm-hmm.
of the European Parliament
mm-hmm.
that recognizes what we do.
Okay.
Okay. Then there is still the work about mind,
mm-hmm.
after body, mind, emotions,
mm-hmm.
my heart, and eventually spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the work for life.
Okay.
Okay. So we have different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might not work with the body, so come and work about your emotions.
Okay.
Or about mind, or about
whatever
sexuality.
So whatever suits you,
you can
find there.
But if you want to have a diploma,
mm-hmm.
then the law
mm-hmm.
only recognizes mm-hmm. you as a holistic therapist.
So you were talking about your school and also saying, You're the gardener in that school?
The whole school is located in a beautiful place.
In Italy?
In Italy, in mm-hmm. Toscana, near mm-hmm. near Florence, near
mm-hmm.
Siena.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about that place is that the whole environment is the school.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a school for life is a school where carries you throughout all different aspects of life, of taking care of life itself, means you.
Mm-hmm.
You, your body, is the microcosmos of what you call the macrocosmos universe.
Mm-hmm.
The laws that run your body are the same that run a seed that will become a tree.
So do you actually live there for 3 years?
I live there now since 5 years.
No, the pupils.
No, actually the training is only 2 weeks.
Okay.
Every year.
Okay.
For 3 years, because
okay.
the law asks me to do mm-hmm. a program over 3 years. But then it depends on the number of hours. And my method is to teach you intensely
yeah.
the minimum that you can then practice.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the school is called Osho Divine Healing Arts.
Mm-hmm.
I relate to you as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And the artist is always excited, in love, looking for,
mm-hmm.
learning more, knowing more, practicing more.
And you said just before that when you're free of fear, then you're so creative.
Right. The energy that it is blocked,
uh-huh.
that it is stuck in fear,
yeah.
when that energy becomes released and available,
yeah.
it turns into creativity or
yeah.
love.
Yeah.
But creativity is love in action.
Mm-hmm.
So you are creative
mm-hmm.
when you have an opportunity to take care of a vegetable garden, but you are creative if you have to clean some windows or to build some, you know, it's like, it's amazing the amount of things that we do together,
mm-hmm.
that love can do together.
So love is not only I love the other person, love is also being totally, I'm trying to understand you
yes.
now, being expressive in any way and be myself and do what I love to do. Love has lots of sides.
Love does not need an image to fulfill itself.
Mm-hmm.
Love radiates from you.
Just for the joy of me. It doesn't need getting money or
doesn't need a projection.
Yeah, or getting love back. It just wants to be
It does not need an object.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Love is the same that you feel when you sit and you don't move and you watch your breath.
Uh-huh.
It's the same love that then you are in planting a seed or cooking some rice or right now what you're sharing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be here with so much presence and so much quality as you are
mm-hmm.
without love
mm-hmm.
relating,
mm-hmm.
love
mm-hmm.
moving.
Mm-hmm.
Love takes you out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Love, it's all that there is, and you never want to be out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the quality that is available, that we are. This is our ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Our ocean is love.
Mm-hmm.
We breathe it. We can't survive without it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you express it through touch, or you express it through singing or through dancing,
mm-hmm.
and when you have a partner or someone that wants to resonate with you, then you exchange that
mm-hmm.
quality, and you give and you receive,
mm-hmm.
but you carry it with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even in the middle of the marketplace,
mm-hmm.
you never lose it. It's
mm-hmm.
like a flame, sometimes very small flame inside of your heart, but it keeps you warm all the time.
And it doesn't need anything in return?
No, it doesn't, but it's ready immediately to
mm-hmm.
resonate. Sometimes an exchange of a smile
mm-hmm.
with someone that you never saw twice,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly, wow, it's
mm-hmm.
just,
mm-hmm.
you know, some
mm-hmm.
some recognition
mm-hmm.
in the midst of this
mm-hmm.
this jungle of
mm-hmm.
of being, you know. And this is what I want to teach and share in the school, because the school starts with the body. And starts with the body because the body is our anchor. The body always brings you to here now.
Mm-hmm.
It anchors you
mm-hmm.
into the reality of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
If I touch you anywhere in any cell of your body, you are now here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You are in contact with all of your choices, yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
The body brings you there. But then we have so much more of our being. We have mind, our belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
What's really yours? And what is that you give, you identify, you give power to, but you never were asked if that is really you.
Mm-hmm.
So mind is this mechanism that needs to be really recognized and dealt with and be able to observe what is real and what is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have calmed mind and you have been more friendly with mind, then you are ready to move to a deeper level, which is your emotions, what you call my heart. That is much more complicated.
Mm.
And finally, you arrive to the center of your being, to your sexuality. And that is even more complicated. And these are the different stages that you can get involved in the school if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there is these two trainings.
Mm-hmm.
One that makes you an official therapist,
mm-hmm.
holistic therapist.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a meditation leader, nobody can give you a diploma.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a Reiki therapist, you can get diplomas from all kinds, but it's
mm-hmm.
nothing official.
Mm-hmm.
The law in Europe has two levels, holistic therapist
okay.
and counselor.
Oh, okay.
Our school gives you these levels.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That's why the 3 years and
mm-hmm.
the further
mm-hmm.
Curriculum of it. And then there's another training that I call It's My Life,
mm-hmm.
where maybe you don't need the diploma of the holistic therapist. Maybe you're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to do the school.
Mm-hmm.
You can participate. Maybe you're not even interested in all the 3 seminars.
Mm-hmm.
Those, it's only 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're interested to explore sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
There is no phase 1 or phase 2. It's basically according to your availability or your need.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And this is the fruit of my... It's now 40 years that I'm working with people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like mature wine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you get a bottle of 40 years old, and,
wow!
You know? But in fact, what I like to recognize in me is that I am still so much juicy about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really my meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
my job.
You shine.
You see, I come in any opportunity that I have to share, and I'm so grateful
mm-hmm.
that some people
mm-hmm.
want to listen and want to share.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I go all over the world. After tomorrow, I'm in Russia.
Wow.
Then I'm in China.
And I can see how you love life.
Yes. Life loves me. Mm-hmm. I only have to say yes. Mm-hmm.
You could give workshops in Russia?
I've been working in Russia non-stop.
Wow.
Before the perestroika.
Okay.
Before the perestroika, when it was...
Before?
Before, when it was Gorbachev time. Chernyshenko time.
Okay.
Before Gorbachev.
And then something happened?
No, I never stopped going.
Oh, since then.
I know Russia better than my own country. from Kaliningrad to...
But now you can go back to Portugal. Now it's
Yes, of course I can go back.
I'm not a Flüchtling anymore.
No. When there was a revolution in Portugal, and from being a deserter, I became a hero. Because I refused to go to the war in Africa.
Okay.
To the colonial war. You know?
Such a beautiful country.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
This sharing we had.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And maybe we'll talk again next time.
Yes, come to Italy. Come to visit.
Yeah, maybe.
Bring anybody or just come by yourself. You will find.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you.